Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Yours truly, Reuben Dockery, is the host. And Talk Straight is a radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute to share its national research-based model for helping young people, particularly young males across urban America, who struggle to find their place and to be productive as citizens. And we're happy again tonight to bring another episode to you, our listening audience. And let me thank all of you that have been keeping up with us and participating over the last year. We're grateful for your participation. We engage individuals with various backgrounds and or expertise in subject matters that are germane to family and youth and community and improving the condition and the quality of life for all that was previously stated, most importantly, you, our listening audience. So I'd like to encourage you to join us tonight yet again. The number for you to call in is 657-383-0944. Our topics are very stirring and we hope instructive and useful. We thank you again and want to let you know that you can join us live. We only ask that you make your comments or questions relevant to our topic of conversation for tonight. And you might notice that if you've been following us, from time to time we hit several shows or concepts that we've done in the past. We're about to close out 2017. So as we prepare to go into 18, it's important to me as the host of the show and the producer to make sure we have relevant conversation. So again, I'd like to encourage you to join us here tonight. For our new listeners, if you're a new listener, we do provide a monologue that provides context or focus for our dialogue and conversation throughout the next hour and a half or so. And we encourage you to be a part of that, okay? And so if there's some additional research needing to be done, we're happy to do that. All right. What any loving parent or caring adult wants to do is to see young people expressing self-confidence and being enthusiastic about living their lives. However, when the wisdom of life experience dictates that there's a need to redirect the misdirection of the young, it is important that the authority figure in that young person's life or experience represents wholesome example of character and behavior before them, so that their instruction will be useful and meaningful. It is hard to blame young people for being out of order when all they see is grown folk who are out of order. Topic tonight, what's wrong with misdirected youthful enthusiasm? It's a question we want to answer. Now, let me just say that in this monologue, I hope none of my friends or listeners are offended or feel indicted, but the truth will make you free. And I've heard, and I agree with this saying, that you can't solve a problem until you first acknowledge and embrace the fact that you have one. Now, we had a young lady on Tuesday who, toward the end of the show, brought up a very, very powerful and interesting position. And I can see how some might say, okay, she's just young, she don't know no better. But tonight, from my monologue, you're going to see that there is a basis for her position and her claim. However, I hope that she calls us back tonight so that we can offer her a solution and answers to as to how we can improve that condition and moving forward. But again, you can't solve a problem until first you acknowledge that it exists. So tonight, our attempt in this discussion on this podcast episode, this is Talk Straight. Again, this is Pastor Reuben Dockery, who is the host, and we have with us our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of a very powerful book and useful instructional tool, Still High. He's going to be in with us again, as he has been. We thank him for all year long being right there in there with us. We appreciate him. And Sister Candy, I believe she's in queue already. Let's get you in queue. Call me right now at 657-383-0944. And let me just go and invite some of our Facebook listeners. I think Miss Starnes may be tuning in with us, Mr. Moore, Brendan Moore, Bryson West, Miss Tamara Vance, Jonathan Pops, Billingsley, join us here tonight. Miss Golden, Stacy Golden, Kenya Shelton, welcome, Pastor Horton, Consuelo Bradley, Miss McDowell, feel free to give us a call. We would love to have you be a part of our live conversation tonight right here on Talk Straight. 657 again, 383-0944. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and get with our monologue so we can get in our dialogue. We've got about an hour and 20 minutes here to talk. We encourage you to join us here. And I hope my young lady calls, because I want her to challenge me or anybody else who think we may be off. Please give us a call and let's have a conversation about it. What's wrong with misdirected youthful enthusiasm? Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 7 reads, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Romans, the 10th chapter, in the 2nd verse reads, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." That can be problematic. I want to talk tonight about some negative influences that have been imparted in the lives of, I won't say everybody, but many young people across America. And this transcends ethnic or racial lines, okay? But certainly when we look at the issues in urban America that we have been striving to confront, we see these things prevalent, okay? And I want, again, I don't want nobody to get upset with me. Don't think I'm church bashing or anything like that. I'm just telling the truth and putting it where it is, okay? Now, if we want to change it, we got hope in 2018 and a little bit of 17 left, a few more days anyway. All right, okay, well, I'm done with that. I have no more apologies. Let's get with it, okay? negative influences within the family context, okay? Let's consider this. A dysfunctional family can be defined as one in which there is conflict, misbehavior, and often child neglect or abuse on part of individual parents who continually or regularly demonstrate these behaviors. And what happens too often is that when these parents do that, their friends and family sanction their behaviors, so it becomes a norm. And that's what the children see all the time. Children sometimes grow up in families with the understanding that this is a normal arrangement. This conflict, this misbehavior and things being out of order and even neglecting and abusing children. That's the way it's supposed to be. Dysfunctional families are primarily the result of two people grown enough, big enough to make babies. They get together and they strive, and we want to give them credit for that, but they strive to raise these babies together, right? But what happens often is in the relationship, one is dominant, other recessive, or both of them just outright crazy. And the children are subject to their behavior, their mindset, and their ideas. Now, oftentimes, they may not know how to be the best, healthy, productive parents, but guess what? The children are subject to that, and they have little to no choice. Okay? Dysfunctional parents may pass on the dysfunctionality or the misbehavior, the conflict, the disorder in the families that they grew up in. So they didn't try to, but this is who they are because that's what they knew. It's real. All right? Children see that, and they adopt those same mindsets. I'm reminded of the story. We're about to come into the Christmas season where a little boy, and this was a songwriter wrote this, talked about how he was peeping in the living room, and he saw Santa Claus kissing his mama. He said, "Oh, man, I got to tell Daddy, Santa Claus kissing on mama." Well, you know where the confusion came from? The fact that both the parents lied to him, like some man in a red suit clown crawled down a chimney and was going to bring toys, going to do more than his daddy was able to do, bringing toys for him. And all of a sudden, this cat kissing on mama. Something is wrong with that. The child knew that was disorderly and out of order. Well, it was supposed to be to make the child happy, but that one little white lie led the child to confusion. All right, I think y'all understand what I'm talking about in terms of a negative influence in the family. There are other examples. Now let's talk about how the media outside of the family influence our young people. Blind imitation is what we see. The masses fall for being in the news, okay? And they end up imitating what they see celebrities, popular figures, and images do without much thought. Those at a very vulnerable age, especially children and teenagers, are highly influenced by anything that is put before them and made to be sexy and jazzy and fun. At that age, they are easily attracted to anything that's flashy or anything that they think is newsworthy that will give you the spotlight. And a lot of these reality shows are based on that basic concept, blind imitation. Negativity. To some extent, media is responsible for generating the negative feelings among those that are exposed to it. When it comes to racial tensions, or it comes to hate for one group over another, or differentiating people in their lives, media plays a major role in that. Early exposure to violent films encourage destructive gang activities oftentimes, and has historically. Books that publish adult images and contents portraying ugly or things that are antisocial in their practices, right, tend to have a deep impact on young people. Now these cell phones, 24 hours a day, they have access to social media. And anybody on there can say what they want to without a filter. We know Facebook is a major source. I'm on Facebook right now. But the truth of the matter is young people exposed to a lot of things. They have no control over whoever it is that's putting it out there. It leads to unhealthy lifestyles. Media is held responsible, can be certainly, for the change in a lot of young people's appetite and diets for what they want to eat. They get to the point they tell their parents they don't like certain foods because it's not popular. They don't see it on TV. And children will tell their folk in a heartbeat, I don't like them shoes. I can't wear them. What you mean you can't wear them? Boy, you better put these shoes on. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, come on, walk with me now. You know, they got to drink a certain type of drink. And you know, don't want no water. Don't want no healthy drink, no orange juice. They got to have pop and soda, Sprite and 7-Up. You understand? Because it's jazzy. You know, I got to eat McDonald's. You understand what I mean? I got to have me some White Castles because, hey, I got to obey my thirst. You understand what I'm saying? I've got some craving. Taco Bell, man, that's it right there. Don't bring me no potatoes and a balanced meal. No, I don't get down like that, Mama. You know better than that. Well, this is a reality. All right, now let's talk about the influences of the religious institution. Uh-oh. The young lady made an excellent point, and I could not argue with her because she was spot on when she talked about the role of the preacher, the pastor, has been tarnished. Let me give you some real examples of how so, okay? This ain't been 100 years ago. We talk about within the last decade or the last generation, 20, 30 years. Cases of child sexual abuse by Catholic priests, nuns, and members of religious orders, and the subsequent cover-ups, right, have led to numerous allegations and even open investigations, trials, and convictions of folks. The abuse includes the abuse of boys and girls, some of them as young as 3 years old, with the majority between being the ages of 11 and 14, a very vulnerable, impressionable age. Many of these incidents involve cases in which figures were accused of abuse for decades, longstanding. These allegations were frequently made by adults who got old enough and finally got the courage to tell about it. Okay? Cases have also been brought against members of the Catholic hierarchy who went so far as to cover up for their friends in the church, in the Catholic Church. Now, you know the Catholic Church is a very major universal church. But it's not just in Catholic Church. Watch this. It's in the Baptist denomination as well and some of the other denominations as well. Case in point, Reverend Henry J. Lyons, former president of the National Baptist Convention, USA. February of 1988, he was charged with one count of racketeering and two counts of grand theft. And in the summer of 1998, he was indicted by federal prosecutors on fraud, extortion, money laundering, conspiracy, and tax evasion. In 1999, Lyons was sentenced to a total 5.5 years in jail for misappropriating more than $4 million from the National Baptist Convention while he was the president of the organization. November 2003, he finally got released, and guess where he is now? He's the pastor in St. Petersburg, Florida, and he is pastoring New Salem Missionary Baptist Church, to my understanding right now. Now, does that mean that the man can't be redeemed? What the young lady is saying, this is why we don't trust him. And I'm a pastor. That's why we don't trust you, Pastor Doctor, because we got examples of what we're talking about. Now, what y'all going to do about it? Okay? Let's put the all where the sweet is. And most recently, Bishop Eddie Long. Rest his soul. Eddie Lee Long was an American pastor who served as the senior pastor of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, very big church, a mega church in DeKalb County, Georgia, from 1987 until his death in 2017. When Long started to be the pastor of this church, there were only 300 members. But somehow, he was able to grow the congregation to over 25,000. Some people would say, that's big, that's huge, and you got to be a member of a church like that. He got to be a man of God, got to be anointed. Well, during this time, Long was subject to Senate investigation concerning whether or not he had personally profited from his church's non-profit status illegally. Eventually, that was passed, and they didn't find any charges. However, some young men, black males, charged that he took advantage of them sexually. And they had pretty good evidence from their experience, but yet he was held up and kept in the position until he died. Am I suggesting that he shouldn't have been redeemed? What I'm telling you is young people are looking at this and saying, you know what, forget it. Never mind, church. I'm going to get it the way I live. Because y'all running game, I got my own game. And see, this is what the young lady was telling me, that they have their own experience that they operate from. You see, and we have to realize as adults and those who are righteous that this is a major issue that we have to confront. It may hurt your feelings. It may offend somebody. But the truth of the matter is, within the church, there are problems. Okay? Then they are told that they should trust social institutions such as the school and the government and politicians that represent their interests. But guess what? There's some negative influences there too. Bill Clinton is a good example of one of them. Okay, I done told y'all, look here, I got to put it where it is. He was impeached by the House of Representatives on December 19, 1988. Okay? The 42nd president of the United States of America, arguably the most powerful position in the world, brought up on perjury charges and obstruction of justice because a lady named Paula Jones said he sexually assaulted her. But guess what happened? He was acquitted of these charges in the Senate in 99. Two other impeachment articles, however, second perjury charge and a charge of abuse of his power. Okay? Problem is Monica Lewinsky couldn't go away. And that was some evidence that you couldn't quite get. I won't go into it right now. But what I'm saying to you is the most powerful position in the world that you would think a young person ought to be able to look up to, that being the Pope, Catholic Church, a parent, President of the United States. That was hope. And I was one of those who tried to encourage young people to go out and vote and be politically involved because we got young brothers out there that's doing it, man. They represent the best that we have. After all we've been through in America, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Kwame Kilpatrick. He was the mayor of Detroit, a major city. Kilpatrick and a young lady by the name of Beattie had a text messaging thing going on. Big old scandal, political sex scandal, emerging from a whistleblower who said something wasn't right. The former police chief, Gary Brown, and Detroit mayor at the time, Kwame Kilpatrick, caught up with a staff and a girlfriend who was named Christine Beattie. Text messaging, all kind of stuff, on city time with city equipment. Now, this young man was in a position to do great things for Detroit, and he had a vision that was interesting. Problem was, he got caught up in a text message. Well, let me tell you what happened. This is what is, I wasn't there, but this is what has been reported, okay? The controversy started from a wild party alleged to have occurred on Labor Day weekend in 2002, and it involved strippers at the official residence of Mayor Kilpatrick at the time, which is owned by the city. It was alleged that the former members of the executive protection unit, that the mayor's wife came home one day unexpectedly and saw the mayor getting down in their home with these strippers. She didn't take too kind of that and went upside one of the strippers' head. And the young girl wound up going to the hospital and suffered some pretty serious injuries. Well, as the case went on, and then they started looking at the mayor's phone and what have you because of these charges, then they found out that he was doing a whole lot of other crooked stuff and connecting them with different things. I'm getting to it. I'm almost done. And then as a consequence, the mayor wound up getting indicted and so forth and so on. The young lady died, wound up dead mysteriously, and that was another major issue. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the young lady was absolutely right. Let me tell you what young people are saying today, and then I'm going to open up the phone line, 657-383-0944. Pastor Waller, I need y'all to help me. I'm coming to you in just a second. T.I., I think he puts it right when he makes this statement right here. Listen to him just for a minute here.
Example, and everybody ain't like that. Hold on, I thought she should have come too to the show, Pastor.
Oh.
So keep going.
Okay, well, let her come on. We'll keep going until she get it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay.
I would think that, as I said earlier, Pastor, you know, experience is a great teacher. And, you know, as I said, when you put things before people that would cause them, and remember, I caused them to try it at one time, just at one time, man, it would bring forth. And so I always have to look at that and get the energy that I need out of it and say, man, you remember when you was young and you remember when things was just before you and then you tried it and all of a sudden you thought about it. You said, man, I like this. And then you wanted to do it again. And so as a result of that, you know, in my discovery later on, it wasn't as I thought it was. You know, it became controlling, and you know, so it was a plan, though. It wasn't like it was a accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference between an accident plan to do harm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, so that's where I'm at right now. You know, about the harm that's going on, that's intentional. You know, and young people are walking into that intentional trap that
it's going to take
a concerned person or people, you know, that can do something about it to actually get out there and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is not going to make them do anything, but just think about when someone puts something out there to harm you and they're causing you to step into it.
Right.
And then you have, you know, people who have actually a solution or have something that could solve the problem but won't get out there and intentionally cause them to know that it's available.
Right.
You know, so it's amazing, man, that, you know, things can change. That's just the bottom line to it.
Okay.
The kids don't have to continue. Yeah, they don't have to continue, man, to walk in that trap that's intentional. If we who have the information, you know, the Bible says, I'm going to turn it back over. It says, we then who are strong all to bear the infirmities of the weak.
That's not to please ourselves.
No, it says to me that we have the solution.
Right.
If we're strong.
You should anyway. Right, exactly.
Yeah. If you got the solution, if you're strong, but if you're not, you don't have it.
Okay.
And, you know, if you have them not doing anything with it, I mean, come on, that's not good.
Right. Okay. Nicole, what say you?
I'm going to say that, you know, they got this thing where they say, you know, everything we talking about, it ain't even, it's you old, you too old school, and you too old,
right.
And all of that stuff, you can get it. So,
right.
I'ma just say this. I think sometimes they think because you didn't get it the first time or it happened to you, it ain't gonna happen to me like it. Because you just was weak, man. You let it take the best of you. They say that's what some say. But at the same time, you know, I don't think it's stronger than that. You know what I'm saying? Because some people think, oh, it just because they happened to you don't mean it's going to happen to me. You just weren't ready for that. Or you wasn't prepared for that. And, you know, and I can admit some of us, hold on, she said my line is busy. I think some of us wasn't prepared for the road that we went down, but we are blessed that we went down it because it gave us strength to stand up and be who we are today.
Sure.
I gave her another number. I'm sorry.
All right. I think
it's
we got
6619.
How
you
doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I asked a question. I don't know if you heard my monologue or not, or you followed our conversation. You did?
No, sir. I didn't get to.
Okay. I still love you. But listen, the question we want to answer tonight is, and I base this on you now. I'm going to tell you, you inspired me, okay? What's wrong with misguided or misdirected youthful enthusiasm? Do you think that question is wrong? Is it based on the wrong principle? Or what do you think about that?
Misguided youth? What do I think
youthful
about that?
Youthful enthusiasm, yes.
Me? Could you elaborate a little bit more? Like,
yeah.
What exactly are you asking about the youth?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for having me to clarify that. Now, we expect, caller, for young people to be happy, to be bubbly, excited about living their life and sharing what they know, right, and demonstrating that. But what we see oftentimes is a lot of self-destructive elements and things that are out of order that don't meet the standard and the norms. And then people say, hey, you out of order, right? But you remember you were telling me the other day that your experience is what you go by and what you understand. You remember that conversation we had?
Yes, sir.
And would you agree that a lot of young people have that same position that, like T.I. said, you don't know me. You see me, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my life, right? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's pretty fair because, you know, people don't know what people go through, you know, just from on the, you know, as people say, on the outside looking in.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times people are looking in on the inside.
But now, what happens, though, caller, is there are often times where people have this drive, but it's really not based on factual information. And they wonder why it is they keep hitting a brick wall and why they have conflict with other people and why they can't find others to embrace or accept them for what they're trying to be. And who they. A good example is people who say that I identify myself differently by agenda. Or I remember when I was running the campaign, caller, some young people asked me what I thought about legalizing marijuana. And I asked them, I said, why do you need it? Well, that's what everybody do. And if people don't like that, then forget them. Is that a healthy position to take, caller?
I mean, some people do stuff depending on what they feel.
Talk in your phone. Talk in your phone directly so we can hear you.
I said different people do what they think is right necessarily. I mean, me personally, I don't think marijuana is wrong. I don't do it, but I don't have no problem with someone else doing it because everyone doesn't do it to look cool or because everybody's doing it. Some people do it, you know, like my dad has glaucoma. He doesn't do marijuana, but I asked him would he do it, and he was like, yeah, when it becomes legal, because it's the, you know, it helps his glaucoma and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't necessarily think it's bad. Like, different stuff is here, and, you know, if it's not affecting you in a harmful way, then I don't think anything's wrong with it unless it's doing harm to your body.
I see. And that was one of the examples that I pointed out, is how suggestions in the mass media has a way of planting a certain thought and behavioral interest in particularly young people who hadn't really been around long enough to be able to separate fact from fiction. And it gets your mind twisted. Once you get to experimenting with it, you don't know how to turn it loose even if you want to. Drugs and alcohol is a major example. I know Pastor Waller can speak to that because he often talks about how it had him in a trap. But on a greater level, it's important that, and what I said was, we have to acknowledge. I'm talking about old folk now, caller, because before you start pointing the finger blaming young people, we have to realize, whether we intended to or not, the influence we had on decisions that they made. Because there was a time they were innocent. Didn't know right from wrong, but based on what they saw, what they were exposed to, it brought them to where they are today. And we got to realize that. We got to acknowledge that. Brother, we want to. So, you know, that's just where it is. Let me say this, 657-330-9444. Annette, thank you for joining us. You want to give us a call here, we'd be happy to entertain your question or comment. And there are a few other people have joined us on the Facebook thing here. Gerda, how you doing? Give us a call here, 657-330-9444. Happy to entertain. Donna, how you doing? Miss Bradley, welcome. Y'all come on, get with us here now. This is a live conversation. We got a little more time here to go, and we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your comments. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
What happens often is that the loudest voices get the most attention. So individuals who really know what they're talking about, folk don't want to hear them because they're not dazzling. They're not bedazzling. They don't have no bling bling to them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
And if you know what I mean? If your stuff ain't loud and shaking them up, you know, got them jumping, they don't want to hear that. But guess what? The truth often is not necessarily presented in a loud way. But it's the best thing you need. Talk to me about that, Brother Pastor.
Well, the truth didn't feel good in the beginning because truth hurts.
Yes, sir.
But it's good.
Say that
for
again.
You.
The truth what?
Truth, it hurts. It may not be good for you in the beginning because it hurts.
That's
and
right.
When something hurts, you know, you don't really want to feel that pain.
That's right.
And, you know, that's what truth does. You know, it brings forth a pain of change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my experience. I'm only talking about my experience now. Of course, you know, I don't do opinions too well because I might be wrong and I might be right. And that's just
right.
A sense of the basketball game. And there's two teams playing. And I say such and such team is going to win. And I find out later that they lost. You see, but that was an opinion. That was an opinion that I had. See, I really didn't have it right.
Okay.
But when I know, you know, like when I experienced doing drugs and I discovered that the drugs beat me down, well, I'm convinced. I don't need no one to remind me, you know what I mean? I'm aware of it. If they remind me, it's understandable, but I'm already aware because I took the beating.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And to a person really experience that, they may not think that there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay.
Absolutely.
But that's how the trick starts. It don't start by you saying I've done it for 5 years or 5 days or 5 weeks.
Right.
You know, the trick
right.
starts at the first, you see. And it's amazing, man, that you know, we're talking about this because a lot of people are being tricked as we speak.
Right now.
You know?
Right now.
Right now, I mean, as we speak, there's some new people being tricked by that same concept of, here, try this. It's not going to hurt you. It's not bad.
Hey, it ain't bad.
It's all right.
It ain't bad.
No, seriously, that's it. I mean, go ahead and try it. And so, you know, being that they're all right with the person, yeah, go ahead and try it. Some of them will. But
right.
let me tell you what it is about a person that you just said. If something wrong with someone has walking in truth, a lot of people won't gravitate to truth because you know, they're not used to it, whatever the reason it could be like that. Don't run from the truth, but a lot of people will. But when I had that lie, when I was corrupting my community with the chemicals, oh, man, I had 24 hours a day, man, it was coming.
Right.
I mean, they was coming like that. Couldn't
right.
even get a good night's sleep. But as soon as I start walking in truth now, you know, the phone may not ring.
Hmm.
That's the
yeah.
difference. You know, to sum it up,
phone
may not ring. Huh?
Pastor Bobby Womack
yeah.
says, as long as you got the money and you got the champagne, you got the party going on, you're going to have friends. But don't nobody
right.
want you when you're down and out.
That's true.
That's a great concept.
Is that right,
Nicole?
Yes,
sir.
That's why I have
They don't want to be bothered with you then, do they?
I never thought
yeah,
on that.
True.
Go ahead, Nicole. Were you going to say something, Nicole?
I said, I don't understand how come it's always got to be I need something from you type of thing, or if you got something to give me type of situation where people want to be bothered, or you can get their attention then, you know?
Right.
If it's
right.
you doing something the way they feel that's good or the way they like it, you know, that's the way they can, you can catch their attention, you know? It's like
right.
that little beautiful dress or that beautiful ring or that type of makeup or something that you like that is sparking
sure.
your attention. Ooh, girl, I want them boots. You know what I'm saying? I got to have those jokers. You know, it's something that really, really catch your attention and your attention span, which where your mind is just like, ooh, you know, like you said, the bling bling, the finer things, the
right.
things that make people really, really will lose their soul for the finer things, because that thing looks so good to you. It feels
wow.
so good. All of them rules and everything else, especially even from there to, but in God's word, he said, in my house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm not going to lie to you. It is many. And so I'm like, Lord, which one is really yours, you know? Because I don't want to be on the wrong marble flow and a wrong, you know, down the wrong road and driving the wrong, what they call it, them roads, business or whatever. Yes,
right.
sir. So that's the thing that I'm just saying. If you ain't got all of that, that seems like, yeah, you're right. You can't tell me nothing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I just
so here's
feel
the
like,
thing. Nicole, here's
yes,
the
sir.
Thing. And 6619, correct me if I'm wrong. We're at a point in time now where
mm-hmm.
my generation, your generation, Pastor Wallace's generation, had an opportunity to be a positive influence. But now this generation, if you're between 15 and maybe 30 years old, you're trying to figure out what's going on in the world, right? And if it ain't been set in place for you. Remember I talked about earlier about the negative
example. Hold on, Pastor. Wait a minute, not trying to cut you off. You know, this is the age they trying to use them. They got it now, like this music industry. I studied it because
okay.
that's
okay.
something I used to love. They got
okay.
it now. If you over 40, you ain't no good for the music industry. They don't
watch
want
it
you.
Now. Watch it now.
they want you to know. They don't want you. They feel like you got too much wisdom and knowledge for them, so they can't
that's
train you to be
right.
a dummy. So, they don't want you when you're over. And I'm like, Lord, is this really, really? I can't believe it. I'm shocked because I still got a desire that I won't get in it. Not that way, but you know, the way
right.
God intends for me to. So, but I've been studying, and I tell you, that thing like. You can't be over the age of 40. I'm like, I'm right at 40. And I just
hold
cannot
that,
believe
hold,
the outcome
hold,
of
hold
what
that right
said
there, Nicole. Nicole, stay right there. Stay right there. 6619. Isn't that the best way to control somebody when they're young and inexperienced about reality? Then you can suggest whatever you want to them. They'll run with it. Is that right?
Oh, geez.
Not really.
You don't think so? What? Okay,
I mean,
explain to me
as,
where you are.
As a child, I mean, it starts as a child. A child is always going to be influenced, but usually when you get the age of 18 and 19, you're pretty much already influenced by whatever you're seeing already as a young child anyway,
okay.
so you're going to go along
right.
with that. When you're,
right.
Like, I'm 19 turning 20 next week. So me personally,
okay.
other stuff doesn't really influence me that I have no interest in already.
I see what you're saying. But now, you may be unique, caller, but a lot of your peers, you know what, there are people who are chronologically in years, they may be 20 years old, but they still act and function like a 10 or 11-year-old.
That's true.
And society assumes that because you're big and you got the years, you understand. And I think what Nicole is saying is that the music industry has looked at the psychology of young people today and those who are most interested in the music, the most popular songs, and they're saying, well, we can't manipulate somebody who can think back beyond 20 years. That's been around long enough to know that ain't So we don't even want to target or market our music to them. Let's market people, Nicole, that are what? Between 8 years old and 25, 30?
Somebody crying. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Somebody, you right about that? Somebody that can train. Somebody that can train and easily fluent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that's adults, like everyone older, they're trained and brainwashed as well because they have no help anyways. Most of them.
That's true.
Okay. Now, is that
like,
everybody though?
They have the generation, you know, the what they call generations. They call us millennials. Then the baby bloomers and Generation X and all y'all guys.
Right.
Most of y'all are Generation X and baby bloomers. Well, the baby bloomers is my dad, but Generation X, you know, that's kind of the messed up generation who was raising most of the kids of today anyway.
I see what you're saying. Your point is well taken. And that's what I covered in my monologue, caller. I was very honest about the fact that we got some cleaning up to do, some fixing to do. And it's going to be difficult for us to fix the babies if we don't fix ourselves first. So I take your point.
Yes.
But I hope you would consider, I hope you would consider that whatever negative things, and I'm going to say we, I'm going to put myself in there, we displayed before you, we got to change it and you got to change it too so we can break that cycle so that the next generation won't continue to suffer from it. Is that fair enough?
It's fair enough.
Okay, okay. Listen, it looks like Rock is watching us tonight on Facebook. Rock, I want to pose a question to you. You may not answer, but I'm going to pose it to the panel too as well. And that is this. As we look forward to 2018, right, and we seek for changes, sometimes people want to help, but, Pastor, they messed up themselves, and they need to get help themselves. I'm talking about grown folk now. I ain't talking about little babies now. I'm talking about grown folk.
Yeah.
Grown folk messed up themselves, but they want to help. You understand? So the question I want to ask you to talk is, how has children in American society become so corrupt by what they have seen? That's what the call is saying. Not only at home, but in the church house, and even in society and schools and government, you hear about teachers all the time going to jail for messing around with babies and pedophiles, you know, judges and what have you going to jail, and lawyers going to, what, doctors, wrong. Yeah. That's the question I was posing to Rock, but I hope he'd give us a call here, 657-383-0944, but what about that, Pastor? Well, how did the children get caught up in this, man? How did they become so corrupt?
Bad example. You know, when you have bad examples, I mean, and you display as your example something bad, misleading without need, or even, you know, how can I help you get something out of your eye when I have a big plank in mine?
Help me, Holy
Spirit. Get the plank out of my eye first so I can see clearly how to help you. The little young ones, you understand? And what that means to me is that generations should have good, positive things to pass down to the upcoming generation. For example, Scripture says, when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I have revealed to this generation your strength and your power and your wonderful work that you have done. And so those are the things that should be passed down, you know, and giving the young people a chance to realize that there also are some good examples. Because if you don't pass no good example down, the chances are you're going to pass a bad one down.
True.
I know what I'm talking about right there because that's what I adopted. I adopted the bad way, that trap that I got off into, you know, and it had to do with seeing other people. And what they displayed to me as a young person, I saw, and I got with it, you know.
I got you.
And
you.
Just the moral of the story, man. If we don't pass something positive and good examples down, man, we're definitely going to pass some bad ones, man. Down. That's just the bottom line. I've done that. pass some bad things down, man. Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay. Let me ask 6619 this question. All right, 6619. I'm fat head, but I'm good looking, right? And don't laugh at me, Nicole. Don't laugh at me. And I want to, I really want to catch these young cats that are out there like T.I. And they, you know, they on their grind. You know what I'm saying? They doing their thing, trying to hustle, trying to get it the way they live and be happy. They want the American dream too. How do, what's the best way for me to approach them with what I have to offer? That's for you, 6619.
Monica, she probably.
Can you repeat that?
Huh?
Can you repeat that? I didn't understand what you were saying.
All right, so I'm asking you.
19.
Okay. All right. What I was asking you is, if I really want to make a difference in the life of young guys who are in the streets, who are hustling, slanging and banging, and doing the things that, all the things I think there's a problem with, right? And I really want to help them. What's the best way for me to approach them?
That would be a hard question, considering that someone has to see what's wrong, what they're doing is wrong first. So you can't really approach someone that does not want help. It doesn't see what they're doing is wrong. A lot of young teens, black teens, older men, you know, they don't have their father in their lives. So you come into them, you know, you can't really explain that you're a man because they don't know the definition of a man. You know, most of the times the TV and different things have taught them this is what a man is. A man that, you know, does drugs, slang drugs, or calls their woman, excuse my language, a bitch or a hoe, or whatever the case may be. And, you
just
know,
talk straight. Talk
no
straight.
One, yeah, but no one's really looking at that. Like, a lot of, you know, people see it, and a lot of us recognize it, and, you know, we don't know what to do, because it's like, what do we do? How do we approach them? Because when you do approach someone of that type of era or that type of demeanor that they do have, most of the time they're very, very defensive. So they're not really trying to listen to what you're trying to say. They think you're lame. They think you're corny, you know, because that's what they were taught. As a man, they would have to, you know how most people get, like, in serious trouble, like everybody has been in some serious trouble. They just changed their life around. Either it was a life or death situation, like they almost got shot or something, or a drug deal went bad, and they just decided to change their whole life around. That's the only thing I could think of. People usually turn around when, you know.
Okay, so I can't. So what if I wear a cross and bring my Bible with me? Would that do it?
I mean, not all the time, because not everybody is religious. So you can't provoke religion on people, because it just makes the situation worse. You can't provoke religion on people that are not religious or don't necessarily believe in that type of, you know, era, because that just makes it worse. Like, you know, you're not going to, like I say all the time, a person is not going to go to a Muslim and teach their practice to a Muslim, because the Muslim has their mind made up. So, you know, people tend to look for ones that are confused. And even the ones that are confused most of the time have their mind made up as well. So they're like, I don't want to listen to that. That's how they are, you know. I don't want to listen to that. They ain't got nothing to do with me. That don't help me. That's how they feel.
All right. Hold that thought. I'm going to put Nicole in a 6x6 room with a young person of that mindset. You heard that, didn't you, Nicole?
Yes, I did.
All right. Wait a minute now, Nicole. You're in a 6x6 room. The door is hot. The light is dim. It's just you and them. Don't do, Nicole.
I'm going to just come to them just like I know they used to. I'm just throw a rap on them. I pray every night to make it out right. Coming in, Show me some love. It's coming from above. Little cut up, what up, what up? Stay in school. Don't be no fool. We can all let cool, but let's help the young people get through. It's our school.
Okay.
So, you know, you just gotta try to come down to their level as far as the music industry and stuff like that. I mean, that's the only way. You got to be, like, comedian-wise with it. You got to be funny. You just got to ask God for the wisdom and knowledge to help you get through this generation, because the generation is stuck on that music. That's what's got a lot of us all, the music and the entertainment. Everybody wants to be, I don't see so much today where everybody wants to be a lot of rappers and not doctors and lawyers no more. Everybody's trying to rap. Everybody's trying to sing.
Right.
Everybody's trying to be entertaining, do something, you know, some kind of movie or production or something, but not no doctors, no lawyers. And this is the way the world has been going.
Well, now,
watch
this. Go ahead, 6619. What'd you say?
I said people are only becoming, you know, those things, not because they don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer, because, you know, not everybody wants to be a doctor or a lawyer, but,
true,
you know, because those things are more easy and it brings you money fast. So everyone's trying to get a fast dollar because everyone is struggling.
Okay.
And, you know, in a form of slavery, is working for someone that you know, making someone else rich. So that's a form of slavery. So, you know, nobody.
Wait a minute, that.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. Go ahead,
escape that reality of working for somebody else and living someone else's dream.
I take your point, 6619. But what if you became an entrepreneur, a business owner yourself? Don't you still have to discipline yourself?
Everyone needs discipline because that's just the natural laws of being a human. So, you know, as people say, you know, even in the Bible, it's a time and place for everything. So it's
everything.
A time and place for discipline. It's a time and place for you to know certain things. Like, it's a time and place for you to be bad, too. So, you know.
Did you say be bad? Did you say be bad? Girl, what you talking about?
Yeah.
What you talking about, be bad?
Like,
it's time to be bad.
For, you know, whatever your interpretation is of bad.
I see.
That's
okay. I ain't going to beat you up too bad. Let me go to Pastor Waller. Pastor Waller, you remember the OJ song that song, There's a Message in Our Music?
Yeah, I do. I remember that.
Now, hasn't music been an active part of our social life? And oftentimes people base their portrayal of themselves, how they see themselves, through the music and the song. That's been going on. That ain't nothing new, is it?
No, it's been going on.
It's been going on,
really, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's really no excuse. You understand? Words are powerful.
Okay.
However you figure it out, words are powerful, you know? And there's
that's
lot of positive things going on, a lot of negative going on. And the thing is, what I shared earlier, and I continue to say that, and because I found it to be the truth. And, you know, the first thing I stopped doing was trusting me. I don't do that. I haven't done it in a bunch of years. And it's important for me not to do that. So what I see is truth. And the truth is, that it makes people free.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the Word of God has the truth in it, and it don't need no help. You know? And this is about it. That's what I like about the Word of God. They don't add nothing to it. I don't try to take it away. I don't try to fix it up and make it be something. It's got so much power to it that is nothing on this earth that can supersede it. It's just about tapping into it, getting to know it, you know what I mean, and then learn how to apply it. But what I shared earlier, and I always have shared it, the trap is so strong that most people don't even get the power of the trap. See, you know, many people don't know nothing about the trap, that they're in a trap or anything like that, but it's a plan for you not to know that you're in a trap, you see. But I know one thing, that there is hope, and that's what I'm standing on in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what they're doing. It's one thing that I found out, is that the truth is what's going to make us free. And
that's
until
it.
We get that, keep looking for the same thing that's going on right now. But once we get the truth, it's over.
When the truth. Okay. Okay.
It's over, man. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's how fast. Once we get the truth, because we haven't gotten it yet, apparently.
My.
You see what I'm saying? Yes.
Yeah,
so okay. Well, we have gotten so much of his excuses. And see, we specialize in excuses from what I've been gathering for a long time around here. And most of the churches specialize in excuses. From my experience now, I'm not putting any church down. I say from my experience going around with all these churches that's going around in the city just in Nashville, you know, they might as well name these churches excuse. Excuse. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Hey, man, I'm just talking what I've learned. And I see why God allowed me to go to most of these churches that I've gone to, because it's something that I need to do.
Right.
It's sad, but it's that way.
It's
you
real.
Know, you have the answer, you have the solution, and then you're afraid to step out with it. No, man, come on now. That's not good. That's not good.
That's not good to me, ain't it? Ain't that a coward? It just sound like a coward. You know, a coward is somebody that don't do what's right. You know what I'm saying? A coward is somebody who's scared to approach the beach because you don't want to lose the money or lose the people.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
Nicole,
you stepping on my toes, eh?
Yeah.
No, but that's a point well taken. And here's the thing. If we don't find the courage to make the change necessary, more of our babies are going to die. More of them
that's
are going to go to jail. More of them are going to wind up on dope and strung out, hurt, bewildered, misguided, and they will continue to grow up as youth enthusiastically with an intense desire and a drive to do something and hit a brick wall. See, that's what really what this is all about. If I'm talking about me first now, if I don't move, if you don't move, and anybody under the weak sound of my voice don't bust a move right now, it may cost another life. You don't believe the church he was on. Go ahead, Professor.
Yeah, the evidence continued to prove. The evidence continued to prove that.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah, that's where the evidence lies at. As of now, it continues to prove just what you said. You know what I mean? Because it's purposely being done. See, you won't set no trap unless you're expecting for it to work.
Now, I'm glad you said that, Pastor. 6619, you still with me?
Monica,
can you hear me? 6619.
She probably got us on hold.
Okay, all right. So,
okay, I'm
back. You there, sweetie?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
All right, I got a question for you. Hebrews 11 chapter says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." I'm going to translate that in 2017, okay? Now, what I know, my experience, is the stuff I done been through. And that's what I know is going to take me until tomorrow for the things I want to get. What about that? 6619, is that a true statement?
You said faith will get you where to the things you want to, you know, accomplish. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So my experiences, what I've been through, what I know works, is what I'm going to use as the evidence that I can get what I want tomorrow. Is there something wrong with that?
I mean, not necessarily, because, you know, everyone, I mean, faith is a good thing. I feel like faith is holding on to, you know, like say if, for instance, someone that feels like their life is not going to get any better, so they have faith that it will. And, okay. You know, over the years, that's not, you know, they have faith, so they don't give up, which is action. Okay. Faith is kind of like action, basically, in my opinion. So, okay. I mean, if someone thinks something works, then it necessarily works. I'm not saying that, you know, it works for them the way they might want it to work, but it works.
Right.
Are you saying
okay.
faith works? Is that what you said?
Well, I think you follow me. Let me explain. Let me explain the text in Hebrews the 11th chapter. The writer was talking about acknowledging and believing God, the Creator, the Father, and everything that the Father has brought you through, God has brought you through, having belief in that, and looking back on those experiences, you know that there is hope for the future and tomorrow. And that's the evidence, the fact that you're still here. Some of us been through some things that we should have been dead and
mm-hmm.
gone. It's 19.
Down. Yeah.
You shouldn't be here right
mm-hmm.
now. But it was only by faith that we were able to maintain ourselves and to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some powerful testimonies out there in terms of the faith walk. I asked that question, 6:19, because there are a lot of people in your generation who the last thing they know about or want to hear about is the concept of faith. But yet, that is the one thing that will drastically improve their life instantaneously. Because watch this. There are people who have faith that don't know they're walking by faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh? They don't know why it is.
That's
they
why.
Keep on making it over the hump, and they get through the storm of life. But it's because internally there is a faith that they have a belief that they don't recognize. I like your analogy. The Muslim believes that the Quran is the holy writ that's going to get me there. Christians say the Bible is going to do it. The Jews say the Kabbalah is going to do it, right? And then the Hindus have another.
Yeah, I believe.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and Buddhism. You know, I believe everyone's religion is, you know, not wrong necessarily. I don't feel like there's no wrong or right religion. I just feel like, you know, everything, me personally, I believe in the natural laws of the universe, which is faith is a natural law of the universe. So it doesn't matter, you know, what religion you share or that type of thing. It's always going to come through because the simple fact is a natural thing of the universe. So when, you know, when anybody, it doesn't matter what a person believes in or anything. Someone always hopes and has faith in something because it's a natural law. So, you know, even someone that says they're an atheist and they don't believe in anything and they just believe in the Big Bang Theory, they have faith that, you know, something
watch
happened somewhere in the world.
You're talking to me now.
Right,
you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to me. Nicole.
Yes, sir.
Nicole. When
yes,
we
sir.
Go into these chat rooms that you've been looking at and thinking about, how do you get what the little sister was just saying in there to them?
Well, I get it in there to them by jokes, letting them know that I'm not perfect. I don't get all the way on their level. But I do show them that I'm not perfect, you know what I'm saying? And I approach them just how that it's... Just like that, I'm one of them. You know, I don't come in there and be like, you know, I'm a Bible scholar. Because that's going to run everybody away. Ain't nobody going to stay there. You know, because nobody's perfect. You know, nobody's perfect. And we all got to realize and understand in the Bible, it says we all fall short of His glory every day, some kind of way. And it might not be smoking or drinking or having sex. It might be some other thing. Who knows? But we all fall short some kind of way every day. So we have to remind ourselves that we ain't always been right here at this present time who we are today. It took growth. It took growth. It took some time. It took some ability. So we got to reach these people just like we still in the same position they in, but all the same time, we don't have to act like them, but we can, you know, show them it's a different way, but also let them know we are still human, because that's another thing I've noticed. A lot of people can get ran out by just people always using this Christianity thing and really trying to look too much like a Christian. It's scary, and that's always like a turn on for people, because people like, this Christian, I gotta go, honey. I got to go. This Christian is too rich for me. I got to go. The knowledge and everything else, and everything you talking about, that's scary, because people don't want to just put their drinks down. They don't want to put their bottles down. They just feel like, you know, they don't want to. That's just too much in for one day. You know what I'm saying? You telling me I gotta stop smoking, man? You telling me I gotta do this and do that, man? I don't want all of that, because they don't be ready for all of that. So.
But then again, it's just like, you know, people, me personally, you just can't push anything on someone, period. You can't just be like even with a drug addict or an alcoholic, you can't be like, you just got to stop drinking now. You just got to stop doing this and all this other stuff, because people are going to quit when it's time for them to quit inside their systems. And a lot of Christians, they do seem perfect, and, you know, they want to act like they're perfect, whatever they try to portray themselves as. And then, you know, it's like natural human instincts. Like, for instance, kids, they have a natural instinct with sex.
We're
human.
Come on.
We have natural instincts, but when you go in a church and they're talking about, you know, it's a sin and all this other stuff, it's a sin. It makes people scared to be human and scared to be themselves, and it makes people act. It makes people want to do, like Lao Tzu, for instance. He say if there wasn't a law for people to steal, people wouldn't steal, because they wouldn't know no sort of it. If you leave the people alone and let the people, you know, be free and be, you know, good people, then they will be good people, because it's a natural instinct for people to be good. But when you portray bad things upon people, then people will.
So you're saying that when you impose laws, you suggest a reason for people to break those laws, or for them to act negatively toward those things. Is that what you're saying?
People act negatively towards law because of the simple fact of curiosity. Everyone has curiosity inside of their body that they cannot burn away. They cannot turn away.
Wow.
So even for it's because it's a human thing. So when you have curiosity inside of your body because you're human, then it's just going to naturally happen, because, you know, that's why it's a such thing as good and bad, because we wouldn't know good if we didn't know bad. You wouldn't be able to label a good inside of this world if you didn't know what bad looks like. So you would have to know what bad looks like in order for you to be like, oh no, I need to do this. This is good.
I'm
so that's why I tell people, it's what you interpret it on good and bad.
Okay.
That's how it is with the young folks. You know, they're interpreting a different type of good and bad.
Hold on one second. You go in there. See, you be bringing stuff up at the last minute. We got 11 minutes. Now we ain't going to have time to get into it. No, that's a great point. Adam had a appetite for something more than what God gave him in the garden. And I'm convinced that this is what motivated him to go along with Eve. Some people say it was Eve's fault. No, Adam wanted that thing. And because it was in his heart, guess what he did? He did it.
He did? He did it.
Because Elohim God made us a free will and choice, he didn't force us to be like robots to do whatever he wanted us to do, but he let us to choose. But now, what I'm trying to say is, before we leave tonight, if you don't have the right knowledge and the right understanding, guess what? You'll make a negative choice every time. Let me review it right now. This is what I said in the monologue. This is what we first introduced the monologue with, and that is the text in Proverbs that says, "Forsake not her," talking about wisdom now. "She will preserve you. If you love her, she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all of that getting, get an understanding." And what I want to leave the thought with tonight is, when people don't understand, it's easy for them, Pastor Wallace, to fall prey to the trap. Probably the best thing a preacher can do is to teach people how to understand the will of the Creator in their lives and how their lives are intricately linked to the Creator that brought them. You didn't get here by yourself.
That's why.
You show me one person
why.
That got it on their own, I'll give you $100 right now. And I have to go borrow that. So, great point. I really appreciate that. Man, I don't want to let you go now, 6619. You got me all stirred up.
But I'm just saying, a lot of people, you know, they make people seem like, they just make humans seem like robots. And that's just not true. And it's,
that's true.
Because, you know, we have natural abilities inside of us that just come natural, and you know, you just can't stand up in front of a Pope and tell people they're unnatural, because it scares people and it scares kids, and it does not give them understanding of things.
You're right about
fear inside of them, and you know, we shouldn't fear anything as far as on this earth. We shouldn't fear, you know, being ourselves. A lot of people fear being themselves because of the church, because of their friends, because it's so much things around them telling them not to be there, be themselves.
Okay. I think your point is well taken. I think your point is well taken. Apostle Paul would agree with you that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. For all have sinned.
Oh, another thing. Sorry to interrupt you. Another thing is a certain type of look. A lot of kids, I know a lot of kids that are like weird, you know, they're shamed by their parents, or they're appeared as evil because they like certain things that are, you know, I guess, you know, so somebody else, godly or whatever they want to say, they call it evil. And that's not a good thing either, because that scares kids and makes kids think something is wrong with them psychologically,
my bad. Okay.
And it's
not. Yes. So to your point, it's important that parents be aware, and even those that are in your nuclear family or your extended family, be aware of the values and the things that you're teaching, so that children don't grow up feeling like you are nasty, you're bad, you're evil. And I think that's what you're saying. That's a great point, because that is one of the reasons why our children grow up going down the wrong road, because you hold them in such a position without understanding, and it's like a rubber band. You're pulling it back. As soon as they get big enough to let that rubber band go, it's gone.
Then we also have to, a lot of things happen in black families that is just, you know, very not talked about, not hid under
taboo.
The rug, because we don't want to be looked at as a certain way.
Right. Man.
So that's where
we are
wrong at first.
Yeah. You're bringing it tonight, and I sure hate to cut you off, but we got 6 minutes. Pastor Waller messing with the clock again. Let me bring him in to kind of wrap us up a little bit, and then we'll try to finalize our next 6.5 minutes. Pastor Waller, you've been listening, man. What's up?
Yeah, I have. I've been listening, man. I've been even just listening, you know, because that's what faith is, man. You know what I mean? You know, when you walk by faith and not by sight, you have a tendency to listen. And so that's what I'm doing, man. I'm a part of that. Now, in the meantime, even though I'm listening, I still have to stand up to the gospel. He said, whosoever chooses on him is a fool. Whosoever walks wisely shall be the fool. So I was tired of being fooled, so I stopped trusting him when I said it. Good news is, if I continue to trust in him, I won't have to worry about trusting in me, you see. And that way, I can be able to accept whatever come my way, whether good or bad, whether I like it or not. Again, I'm big on the trap. I understand the trap. I know that the generation, I'm talking to your brother right now, that's him and I was talking, and he made known his son is 14 years of age. And, you know, in the midst of that, he said, this is the generation that really needs somebody to, you know, to step up to them, man. And he's letting it be known, and he has a son. And he's
right.
letting it be known that he needs some help, you know.
Right.
But if we don't step out of them buildings, you know, in other words, yeah. what good is it having all this information and these young people out there caught up, and he hadn't heard anything that we was talking about until he heard you say something about the young people and what they're into, you know, and that's when he let it be known. He said, yeah, man, he said, yeah, my son is 14 years old, and they are the generation, man, that's extremely lost. So who
yeah.
should be out there trying to do something about it? People
we
who have been found,
that's
you know,
that's
no matter
it.
How we put it, no matter how we fix it up, if we are afraid and we're inside of the building glorifying God, talking about how good he is and everything, and then once we leave the building, he's no longer good. You know, I mean, come on, that's just it's ludicrous to me, you know.
Right.
I don't understand
right.
it myself. I'm still waiting, and I'm wondering how long is it going to take for people to just step outside the building
right.
and
uh-huh.
take a change. You never know until you try it how it would
that's
be,
it.
You know? And that's what I just that's believe. It. I just believe that. I believe that, man. I'm still believing it for the people who may be in the church glorifying God, and then, you know, they just feel like that's all you're supposed to do is go in church and wait on them to come. And the Bible makes it plain to go out into the world. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. I mean, that's plain, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's plain.
Right. Okay, man. Well, we got work to do, sir. Clearly, we got work to
yep.
do. And I pray that we have the strength, the wisdom, and the courage, Nicole, to do the work that's necessary, because our babies is our responsibility. Can I say that again? Our babies
yep.
are our responsibility. Nobody else. Nobody else. Let me, I got 2 minutes here. 6619, thank you, darling. Thank you for coming back and being a part of this episode of Talk Straight, What's Wrong with Misdirected Youthful Enthusiasm. Nicole, as always, there's a star. I call heaven, Nicole. And I told him to look out for you.
Okay.
I told him to save a seat for you. All right? Bless
all right.
you. As always, Pastor, we appreciate you. We are likely not going to have a live episode. It will be a pre-recorded one on next Tuesday. And we're working on possibly doing a live one on Thursday, but we're not certain. But just check your Facebook post to see if we're having it. But I know Tuesday we're not going to have it. It's the holiday, and I will be in transition myself. So, and actually next month we're going to be doing some traveling, some more traveling, Pastor, and we're going to try to air from our location out of town. But just bear with us there. Thank you guys for being with us. This has been a very, very insightful, and I appreciate 6619 truly, because I appreciate the fact that she brought it real. And that's what we want to do. We want to be honest, and we want to be direct, because we want to make a difference. We definitely want to make a difference. www.bfcinstitute.com is the website. Please check it out. There's still time for you to make a contribution to us and have your tax deduction considered for 17. Earmark it, even if you give it late on in 18, if you earmark it for December 31st or before then, you can get that deduction. And they tell me that the tax bill is going to make a whole lot for some people. So time will tell. Time will tell. This has been Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dock. We thank each and every one of you for joining us, and we'll see you back possibly next Thursday in of next week. Thank you again, for everyone, and we will be back in touch with you for another episode of Talk Straight.
hard to do.